The last two verses really take us off in a slightly different direction. Or they sum it up, but they put it in another context. What we've seen so far, the first six verses, are really to do with the action dimension of this particular teaching, if you like. They're to do with, well, first of all, the general approach, and then how you put that into practice in terms of your interactions and your relationship with your own mental states, minute by minute, moment by moment, throughout the day. So they give us an intensely practical set of precepts that we can put into practice. What the seventh verse does is in a way, go back to the more general, but it really encapsulates the bodhicitta practice as a meditation. So it says, the seventh verse, in brief, directly or indirectly, may I give all help and joy to my mothers, and may I take all their harm and pain secretly upon myself. So this alludes to what you do as a visualization exercise in the bodhicitta practice, as well as encapsulating the whole spirit of the text, and giving you something that you can be working with again, moment by moment. It's interesting. In our community, we went to a concert the other night, and we were stuck on the top floor of a car park, and everybody, of course, wanted to get out. So we were stuck up there waiting, and we were getting a little irritated. And Sona said, breathe in the frustration of all the people in this queue and breathe out calmness and love. And it was, he said it in a very sincere way, not as a joke, and it was a very apposite comment. The sort of situation where you very easily just get caught up with your own frustrations and irritation, but actually you just think of all those people in that you know, queue all the way down, feeling frustrated, and sort of empathise with them. So you can use it in that apparently sort of trivial way, in the sense of the situations that you find yourself in throughout the day. Breathing in the pain and suffering that others have, and breathing out well-wishing. Now, this practice, I think, goes, well, it does, it goes very deep indeed. And it's perhaps going to take us a little time to get in contact with what it really means. And I'm going to finish tonight, so I'm not going to be able to do it full justice. But I'm going to start by just looking at the take all their harm and pain secretly upon myself. You know, if you've got your eyes open, you see suffering all around you. You know, if you listen to the news every day, which I try to do, you know, you're bombarded by the sufferings of the world, because the news, of course, is always about the sufferings of things. You know, I don't watch television very often, and occasionally when I see the television news, it's really a big shock, because you see you don't just hear the report of it, you actually see the bodies, you see the starvation and so on, and it really touches you very strongly. But you don't have to do that. You know, you just walk around in Moseley, and you see the marks of weakness, marks of woe. You see people's sufferings, and you know, you do see in Moseley high streets some people in, you know, really very very painful states of mind indeed. Sara was describing the other day, a boy he'd seen come in on, you know, living on the streets, very, very bright and sort of, obviously it's a big adventure, and just saw him a few weeks later, and obviously rattled with drugs and malnutrition and so on. So you don't have to try very hard to just see suffering around you. Well, probably in your own house or community or whatever, you see suffering there too. But it's very difficult for us to really work with that. And I think that if you don't have a creative response to it, there are two ways in which you end up going. One way, of course, is the one that we commonly do, which is you just shut down and you don't notice. Now, I found that really striking going to India, where you know, you see a lot of grinding poverty just as you come into land at Bombay Airport. And if you just go a few steps outside the airport, you just see real material suffering of a sort you just don't see here. And what's extraordinary is that within a few minutes almost, you get used to it. You sort of shut down. You don't feel it because you can't. You can't go on, sort of psychologically speaking, you can't go on being open to it. It just is too much. So you learn to anaesthetize yourself, as it were, existentially, so that you start to block it out. And yeah, I think it's a quite natural and almost necessary process. If you don't do that, what happens is despair and even sustained despair in, I suppose, something like depression. Well, depression's a specific medical condition as well, but that's the sort of thing that you can fall into, just a sustained sense of hopelessness and despair. What to do about this intense suffering that's just all around? So we learn to deal with it in our own particular ways, which is mainly just to try to make ourselves reasonably comfortable whilst, being the good Buddhists that we are, being fairly kind and trying to help out a bit. But the text says, take all their harm and pain secretly upon myself. And what you do in the meditation practice is you visualize all beings all around you, and you try to open yourself up to the suffering that is inherent in every existence, short of enlightenment itself. And you do that especially by focusing on the sufferings of particular beings. So, you might be involved with people who are suffering a lot, or you might just pick up, as it were, sufferings in the street, and you focus on them. But you need to have a creative response. Otherwise, you either fall back into just blunting it, or you just fall into a sort of horror-stricken, panicking despair. And neither of those are creative. The blocking off means that, you may make some contribution to the benefit of the world, but you don't either make the contribution that you could make, or, in a sense, go beyond yourself. If you fall into despair, despair is paralysing, and unless you find some creative resolution to it, it just unfits you for action.